on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? We're back, and what a week, huh? This is exciting. Obviously, we've had men's and women's basketball this week, but really exciting because Coyote football has made it as far further than it ever has before at the FCS level. Semifinal Saturday coming up in Bozeman, Montana. The Coyotes and the Bobcats of Montana State. Should be a really fun Saturday afternoon. The game will be, of course, nationally televised. It will follow South Dakota State and North Dakota State. We'll have our eyes on that game from Bozeman, Montana, as we get ready for the Coyote and Bobcat matchup. Number one against number four. The top four seeds have gone on to the semifinal round of the playoffs. You know, Sam Herder, who obviously follows FCS very closely, he tweeted this week, 2016, the home teams lost in the semifinals. Since then, the home teams in the semifinals have won every game to advance to the national championship. So, some have pointed out on the social media, I think Mark Wendt did, but we're due. We're due for an upset. We're due for a team hosting a semifinal to not make it to the national championship. Maybe South Dakota can be a team that comes in and disrupts the apple cart. But we're excited. What an opportunity for this program. What an opportunity for this team to get the chance to go to Bozeman, Montana and play in the semifinals and a chance to go to the national championship. Coming up in the podcast today, we're all focused on football. We'll have a preview, I should say, with Keaton Galogli, the play-by-play voice of Montana State. We'll get his thoughts on the Bobcats and their season that they've had so far. Obviously undefeated, a very good football team in Montana State. Also coming up in the conversation, Josiah Gaines. He has been around this program and spent his career here, obviously coming off of a game in which he had an interception. But one of those guys that probably doesn't get enough credit for the work that he does, but certainly has been a huge part of that Coyote defense. And we'll kick it off this week with Jack Martins, a wide receiver for the Coyotes, who has had some big plays this year. In fact, some of the biggest plays that he's had have come in the last few weeks. Of course, that touchdown against North Dakota State, they kept South Dakota in it. It brought the Coyotes within five at that point. And then a huge first down against UC Davis on a third down play. Got a 25-yard pass completion along the sideline. A couple of big plays in Jack Martin's career. We had a chance to chat about his career at South Dakota.
Jack, your team on to the semifinals of the FCS playoffs, and you've been obviously a part of this thing the last few years. What has this experience been like? You know, obviously a couple of years ago it was a really down year. Not a lot of people felt good. And now back-to-back years where this team's gone at least to the quarterfinals and has made history. What has this experience been like for you?
No, it's been crazy. It's been life-changing. It's been the best years of my life, for sure. Just being with a part of this program, being with these guys every single day. And it's just really, it's awesome to see how much it has changed since that down year, that 3-8 year, just how the whole culture has changed and how the leadership has changed around here. And it's just, you know, it's everything you've ever dreamed of, really.
What has it been from a wide receiver standpoint? You've had different position coach now, it feels like, almost every year. What has that been like trying to adapt it to maybe new terminology, just a new approach to the way a coach handles things?
Yeah, it's been challenging, but all the coaches who have came in here, you know, I've loved, and they've made it pretty easy. You know, Coach V, I love Coach V. He's super, super high energy. I've learned so much from him. He's such a great coach. And, yeah, it's just really – the coaches really make it easy to adapt to some different coaching styles and the offense. So,
when you look at playing wide receiver, one of the most underrated parts of being a wide receiver is blocking. And I know that's something that a lot of you guys have to work on quite a bit. What's the challenge of learning how to be a good blocker?
Yeah, it's really all in the technique. Everything I've learned here, the coaches, it's because, I mean, if you turn on my high school film or the film before here, I mean, you probably couldn't find one blocking tape of me blocking. So, I mean, it's really just been just learning the technique, and then it's just effort, and it's just getting the technique down.
everybody wants to have the big catch, obviously, and the big play. Do you feel the energy when you lay that big block and it springs a play forward?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, blocking for these backs, Key, Trav, Charles, LJ, I mean, that's really just as exciting as springing a block or springing a touchdown. So, yeah, it's been awesome.
You've obviously, over the last, few years, you've been able to get on the field quite a bit and, a lot more targets maybe last year than this year. I was looking at, your season this year, five of your catches came in a two-game span, but you could argue two of the biggest catches of your career might have come in two of the last 3 weeks. You had that first down against UC Davis on a third down play, a 25-yard gain, that touchdown against North Dakota State that was 40 yards. How do you try to just continue to keep going to work and doing your thing and just waiting for that opportunity to when that ball's coming your way?
Yeah, I mean, the guys around me, the coaches, they all make it easy. I mean, playing for one another, I think, is the most important thing. And whatever role they have me in, whatever they want me to do, and whatever it helps the team win, I'm willing to do. So,
what has it been like to play alongside Carter Bell? Obviously, he gets a lot of the targets, but over his career, he's ended up being one of the best in program history.
Yeah, I mean, Carter's been here all 4 years. He's been a leader. I've learned so much from him. I'm really grateful for the time that, I've shared with him here. But yeah, he's one of the best players I've been around. Great work ethic. It's been awesome.
When you go into a play, obviously there's a play call. You might know that maybe you're the first read, second read, whatever. What's kind of your mindset? What are you looking for on the defense to try to find a way to get yourself open?
It's just really, really – I mean, Coach Davis does a great job putting us in perfect situations, great situations. So it's really just running my route, doing my job, and then, I got full trust in Aiden for him to make whatever read he needs to make.
What has changed over the last couple of years with the offense? Obviously, Aiden's got more comfortable. He took over partway through a few years ago. But what has changed with this offense that has allowed it to be more explosive and just an offense that has been able to, lead this team to wins?
Yeah, I think it's the players, buying into the program. We've worked so hard in the offseason to get better, even better from last year. I feel like we're a lot better. But yeah, it's just all the off-season work, all the work we put in, the trust we have in each other. It makes it fun.
This year, getting the opportunity now to go to the semifinals, and obviously the goal has always been to go as far as you can and win a national championship. But this team won a conference championship. That was goal number one. Describe that feeling of accomplishing something here, being a part of this team that accomplished something that had never been done here before.
No, it's awesome. It's awesome. And it's awesome to do with the people that are here and the people that are around every single day. We put in so much hard work. It was awesome winning the conference championship. At the same time, I think it's not one person on the team I think would be satisfied to just win that championship this year. We got bigger goals in mind, and the next step is a Saturday.
How do you describe this team? I mean, it feels like some weeks it's the defense that steps up, some weeks it's the offense that steps up. How do you describe just this team as a whole?
Yeah, I think we complement each other very well. The defense has offense back, the offense has a defense back, and I think that's what makes this team so great is that we constantly got each other's backs.
People always interested in what our student athletes are maybe thinking about for the future and what they might do. Like, whenever football is done for you, like, what are you studying? What do you hope to pursue next?
Yeah, I'm studying business, finance, and, I'm not 100% sure, but, right now you kind of focus on football. That's kind of the main thing in mind, get the education and then, see what happens after that.
What's your message to the team now? You go to the semifinals, you're a guy that's been around this program now a long time, and you guys continue to try to make history. What's been your message to this team?
Yeah, I mean, we just got to keep going, keep pushing. It's been awesome being around these guys every single day, and, I can't wait till Saturday, and can't wait to win the national championship.
All right, we're excited for it. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
That is Jack Martins. He is a wide receiver at the University of South Dakota, and he'll continue to be one of those guys that's just ready for when the ball comes his way. Excited to continue to see him grow in his position and in his role at USD. One guy who's grown a lot since his starting time at South Dakota, Josiah Gainis. We have seen this guy make big play after big play after big play. He's got three interceptions in his career. Two of them have come in the playoffs the last couple of seasons. Josiah Gainis gave us some time this week to talk about not only this season, but his Coyote career.
Josiah, your team on to the semifinals of the FCS playoffs. What has this run meant to you? Someone who's been in this program now for a while, and you've been a big part of the building blocks to make this go where it has. What has this run meant to you? I know you're not done. You're not satisfied, right? But what has this experience been like for you?
This experience has been everything to me. You know, just coming in 5 years ago, seeing how much this program has improved, it just means everything. And to be a part of this, it means even more. So, all right, like you said earlier, you know, the job's not finished yet, but definitely truly appreciative of every step that we took throughout this whole journey.
You know, we're in a time that obviously it's not a lot of athletes anymore that are sticking around at one program, and you've been able to do that. Like, you came in here, trusted the process. What kept you a part of this program and building here? Somebody from Florida, now in South Dakota, what kept you here and keep trust in what you're doing?
Honestly, it's just a little bit of everything. You know, the support that we get is phenomenal here. Coaches are amazing. Defense, offense, whatever it may be, it's just phenomenal. And then my teammates as well. You know, I met a lot of good people here. I made a lot of great relationships with people that I plan on being friends with forever. So it's just a little bit of everything why I chose to stick around, and, you know, just the work that I see everybody around me putting in, it just makes me want to stay here and continue to do it with them.
You keep grinding. You're coming off of a game in which you had your first interception of the season, third of your career. Mm-hmm. Two of your interceptions have come in the playoffs. What is it about playoff JoJo?
Honestly, I wish I can tell you, honestly, but obviously just super, super grateful for the opportunity to catch an interception, you know, help my team get that turnover. But I don't know, maybe it's just something in the playoff air, playing inside that dome. It just feels amazing.
I got to ask you, do you remember your first turnover at South Dakota?
Yeah.
Where was it? What happened?
Okay, so it's a bit of a funny story. So my first interception, I actually caught the pick, but I ended up fumbling it. So some of the guys on the team gave me a hard time. But my first ever turnover was against Missouri State back in 2021. The running back kind of split the defense, and I chased him down, came from the back, and ripped the ball out. So that was my first forced fumble, first turnover as a Coyote.
What was your first fumble return? Do you remember that?
Yeah, NDSU.
No, I think it was Northern Iowa.
Northern Iowa.
Do you remember that play?
Northern Iowa, yeah.
I'm sure this is something that got shown on film a little bit. You had nothing but wide open space.
Yeah.
And you ran out of gas. You remember that?
Yeah. I definitely ran out of gas. That's another time where the guys get on me like, man, how'd you get caught from the back? But yeah, I think it was like 65-yard return. I thought it was a touchdown for sure, but ended up getting caught.
You could see your whole body downshift at one point when it ran out of gas. But obviously, you know, you made an impact here defensively. One of those safeties on this defense. How do you explain your role to somebody who maybe watches the game doesn't understand it? Like, what's your job on the defense?
So my main job is to first communicate with everybody what the call is, the down and distance, things like that, make sure everybody's aligned right. And then from there, just, you know, kind of go into like playing coverage, and then just kind of, I'd say, like, I'm safety, so I'm like the last line of defense, you know, let the guys up front do what they do. If somehow, some way things up front doesn't go planned, then just kind of be like that last line of defense to stop the run or stop the pass, whatever it may be.
What's the communication like between you and Dennis, or you and the cornerbacks, things like that? Is maybe they're shifting around their receivers and running backs and make sure everybody's covered up. How do you guys communicate?
So it's a lot of hand signals, a lot of vocal you know, sometimes in that dome it gets really loud, so we rely on our hand signals a lot. But, you know, everybody does a good job at just echoing whatever maybe we need to echo across the field, especially when it gets loud in there. And that's kind of a little bit of what goes on with communication. A lot of hand signals and, you know, try to be as loud as we can. As you can hear my voice, I lost my voice screaming on the field. But, yeah, that's how it is.
You know, you go through, you play enough football to know that there's going to be some point where coverage breaks down and a big play happens against you. It seems like you guys go to work right away on trying to fix it or understand what the problem was. How do you try to move on, whether it was your responsibility or somebody else's, just pick everybody up and move on to the next possession?
Yeah, with the defensive side of the ball, you know, the whole team as a whole is just a lot of unselfishness. So if somebody messes up, misassignment, whatever it may be, you know, there's guys, as soon as they get off the field, man, keep your head up, man. You got this, you know, the game's not over, you know, keep working. You know, it's going to come to you. Just be calm and you'll make up for your mistakes and stuff like that.
The iPads are new this year on the sideline. How much has that helped you personally to be able to maybe see pictures? They always try to explain it to you, right? Mm-hmm. But now to actually see it, how much has that helped in your game?
Yeah, it helps a lot. It helps you to like immediately clean up your mistakes and see where you can get better at instantly. You know, usually you have to wait till the next day to watch film with as a team, and then that's how you clean up your mistakes. But the iPads are a great way to, you know, have in-game adjustments, and it helps a lot, honestly.
You're part of that group that, you know, just a few years ago, after making the playoffs, is a bad year, right? It was just a bad year and really tough for a lot of people. You're part of that group that just stuck it out and said, you know what, we can do something really special here. What made you believe it at the time? What made this group believe it at the time? And how did we get to this point?
Just everybody around us, you know, the guys around us, we seen the potential, we seen what we can do, and we just believed in each other, believed in the coaching, believed in whoever it may be. And it was just honestly just that belief that kept me here, and it kept guys going and wanting more. You know, the year before, like you said, we had a playoff run and stuff. So when we got there, we were like, all right, each year we just got to keep finding a way to get better and better and better. So I feel like that was like the main motivations for that.
Seems like this year this team has found ways to win or at least be competitive, right? It wasn't, I mean, you were right in the game at Wisconsin, an overtime loss to South Dakota State. But it seems like people continue to doubt this team and not understand that this is a really good team. You guys just try to flush that noise, the outside noise, and just stay motivated. How do you do that with so many, you know, social media in today's world? I mean, it's around you all of the time. Mm-hmm. How do you just forget about what the outsiders are saying and just stick to what people believe in this building?
Yeah, we just try to keep that laser focus. You know, obviously everybody's going to always have something to say. They may not feel like we're the best team. We may not have the best players, but within, you know, we believe in each other. Like I said before in this interview, there's a lot of unselfish players on the team that believe in one another. And I feel like we want to do it for one another. We want to play for that person right next to us and do it for those people around us. So I feel like that's what kind of gets us going and block out all that noise.
What has made this defense so good all year? It's been one of the best defenses in the country. Mm-hmm. What has made this defense good?
Everybody's just been bought in from day one, from winter to spring ball, to fall to summer to fall camp, and then even now into the season. It's just never been a drop-off, you know. Guys come to work every single day, ready for whatever challenge that lines up in front of us, we're ready to go. Whatever the conditions, whatever it may be, the guys are just always ready to work. And like I keep saying, like, just a ton of unselfish guys on the team that are just willing to do it for one another.
When you came here, and joined up with a teammate who has gone on to live that NFL dream, Miles Harden. Mm-hmm. I know he's been injured. He got back on the field this week a little bit. What has that been like from you, you know, for you to experience seeing him? Obviously, you guys were known as a heck of a tandem in high school defense. You guys were really, really good. But to come here, play at the University of South Dakota, see him realize that dream and that opportunity and see him on the field on Sundays, what has that been like to experience from your standpoint?
Yeah, it's been great to see, you know, just growing up with Miles. I met him in 2018, my junior year in high school, and ever since then we've been really good friends, and, you know, this journey for him has just been amazing to see, and it just shows that, you know, anything is possible, you know, with just hard work, dedication, and just belief in yourself. You know, a lot of great things could come from that. So it means everything to me to see that he can, you know, pretty much just change his whole life for himself, his family, and, you know, just for the community. It's just a great thing to see.
You obviously got more you want to accomplish here, but you got that next level of football in you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously, if God willing, you know, opportunity presents itself, I'm definitely going to go pursue it, you know. But as of right now, just focus on the rest of my collegiate career, and then after that, I can worry about that type of stuff too. But definitely would want to pursue a professional career.
What's this team have to do this week to find a way to get a win and go realize that that dream of playing for a national championship?
Yeah, so definitely we can't overlook this opponent. You know, this opponent is undefeated. They've been playing great football all season. So definitely it starts with just focusing on what we have to do this week, you know, whether it's preparation, getting some extra sleep or extra film, whatever it may be to beat this team. We just need to go a little bit harder, go that 1%, get 1% better, and just go a little bit harder just to make sure that we can guarantee that we can get this win and move on to the next round.
You got to get through finals so you can focus on football, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That too. Focus on finals, finish finals strong, and, you know, after that, you're just you're going to feel somewhat like a pro. You know, just wake up, go to practice, go home, watch film. It's just going to be football and, you know, rest, honestly, throughout the rest of this week and then throughout the remainder of the time.
All right, we're excited for it. We'll see what happens. Obviously, a great opportunity, and regardless, the next step for this program and making history. So congrats on that, and good luck this week.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That is Josiah Gannis, a safety for the Coyote football team, joining us here on the Yotecast podcast. Hopefully, he's got a couple of big plays left in him here for Bozeman, Montana this weekend. I had a chance to catch up with Keaton Gologly. He is the play-by-play voice of the Montana State Bobcats. We talked about this undefeated season for the Cats and this team that has been special and has its sights set on a national championship. Keaton, it's semifinal football, and obviously exciting time of year. Two teams, really four teams now to the semifinals, who have had really great seasons and now obviously playing for a chance to go play for a national championship. What's the vibe around Montana State and Bozeman right now, a team that obviously has knocked down every opponent they played, undefeated on the season and having themselves a great year?
Yeah, some disbelief, some joy, a lot of excitement. You know, you walk around and go to the grocery store or go wherever you're going with a Bobcat hat on. And I mean, after the second round game, when I was walking around town, I had multiple people, "Hey, oh, hey, did you go to the game? How were you there last night?" And yeah, look, man, I mean, it's been a generation since the Bobcats last won a football national championship, and people are excited, man. The anticipation is palpable for sure.
What has been this growth from what you have seen over the program? Obviously, they've put themselves here over the last several years squarely into the conversation for a potential national championship. From your seat, what has that growth and excitement been like building for the Bobcats and their fans?
Yeah, you know, I think you got to go even pre-pandemic when Coach Choate was here, and now he's over at Nevada. But, you know, he did a really good job of recruiting the Montana kids, the state of Montana kids, and just kind of bringing that edge into the program. And when he left and Coach Vegan took over, you know, he had a really clear vision. The kind of the saying around here has been that, you know, Coach Choate built a Lamborghini and Coach Vegan filled it with premium gas and has really taken it off. You know, I mean, this is a developmental program. Coach Sean Heron, the strength and conditioning coach, is the guy who gets a lot of credit, because there are a lot of guys who come into this program, they redshirt that first year, and they'll put on a lot of weight. You know, the left tackle Connor Moore is up 70 pounds since he first got here as a high school kid. And yeah, there's just a lot of people that are committed to the vision, committed to the program, and committed to just getting better. And that's one of the cool things about it. Like a lot of the kids who are from the state of Montana, they go out, they recruit these kids, even from the 6-man, 8-man football, and they say, "Hey, look, you can play here. We're going to make you good enough to play at this level." And they do. It's a lot of fun watching the way all of these young players, these young men, have really committed to just getting better, and it has happened across the board.
How do you define the way this season has gone? I mean, it opened up with a big deficit at New Mexico. The team rallies, gets a win there. And since then, just continuing to find ways to win football game after football game after football game. How do you define what you've seen throughout the course of the year?
Yeah, that New Mexico game was really key in a lot of ways. You know, Tommy Mellott had two fumbles that got recovered and returned for a touchdown, and that was a hard thing, you know. And I think everybody believed in Tommy's resiliency, his ability to flush one play and go on to the next, but that really proved it. And that comeback in the fourth quarter was something special. And this is a senior class, man. I mean, there's a lot of guys that go back to 2019, 2020 who went through the coaching change, went through the canceled season, and have built their way up. And they've had a lot of success, and they've had a lot of heartbreak. I mean, last year was a painful year, the end of the year with a loss at Montana when you had a chance to win a Big Sky title, the loss against NDSU. Those were painful things, but they're a resilient group, and there's a lot of equity in that New Mexico game. And, you know, the non-conference schedule was weaker than they had hoped since Stephen F. Austin had canceled their contract, and that was what forced the Mercyhurst game, which was a team transitioning out of Division II. But, you know, that we knew the schedule was going to be backloaded, and when they got there, they were the best version of themselves, and now they're rattling off a lot of ranked wins. So they're a team that's has been through everything throughout this year and throughout a lot of this senior class, and it shows that there's just no panic in this team on either side of the ball.
For anybody who does not follow Montana State, if they've done so just even vaguely, they've heard the name Tommy Mellott, the legend from Butte. He has been fantastic, and his career took him to the national championship game as a freshman. And, you know, they had that two-quarterback system this year, kind of put everything onto his plate. He's continued to just show how talented he is. Doesn't matter. Throwing the ball, running the ball, he is. Literally do everything.
Yeah, he's special, man. I mean, the local kid, grew up a Montana State fan. Denarius McGee, one of the great quarterbacks, was his favorite player, and now he's the favorite player of a lot of young kids around the Treasure State. You know, he's a financial engineering major. He's very analytical. He's very matter of fact. He's very sure. He's very focused. He's very disciplined, and that really comes through. And you know, the thing about Tommy is, you know, early in his career, there wasn't a lot of personality that would come out in the interviews and some of that kind of stuff, because there just isn't a lot of frill there. It's just he's going to show up and go to work. And, you know, one of the cool things we did with him on our radio show, our coaches show that we do weekly, you know, I talked to him and we went through his whole schedule throughout the week, man. I mean, he is just incredibly dialed. He's got his schedule down. He does a lot of visualization stuff as well. And it's just, this is what happens, you know, when preparation meets opportunity. It looks like some luck, but man, he's been dominant. But the biggest growth has been obviously the pass game, particularly this year. And part of it's just been, you know, the line Coach Vegan had it way back in fall camp was, we want to see him do the ordinary things exceptionally well. And that's a lot of those quick hitters, the short passing game, and just dialing that through. And he's been something special, and it's been a true treat to watch it all play out and get to this point here in mid-December, still playing some football.
Sure doesn't hurt having two running backs that have both gone over 1,000 yards on the season. We've got two ourselves. Montana State has two. This is a game that's going to feature the running back position.
Yeah, you know, and that they're doing all that with Julius Davis, who was supposed to be the number one guy coming into the year, but suffered a knee injury. And, you know, he's banged up again now and sounds like he will be unavailable for this game here. But, yeah, you know, Scott Trey Humphrey, a true sophomore, he is the fire. You know, he is the bowling ball, a kid from Seattle who's just really loving his time here right now. And he runs as hard as anybody. And then Adam Jones, kind of the icy kid. He's kind of a gee golly, aw shucks type kid who's from Missoula over the hill and grew up a Montana fan, but got flipped, you know, when he got got recruited over here to Montana State. And, you know, he's another guy who, you know, he's put on 20, 25 pounds since he got here after redshirting last year. And, you know, it's easy to look back now, his very first carry ever. Last year, as he was, you know, only played the four games for his red shirt, he rattled off his first touch ever at the college level, like a 45-yard touchdown run. And he has just continued to get better. He's incredibly athletic, a guy who could have gone and played Division I baseball, could have gone a lot of different places, but he came here and he's running between the tackles now, which is not something he did a ton in high school. And he can catch the football. He even got recruited a little bit as a wide receiver. But yeah, it's been something special to watch those two guys go to work behind this offensive line.
Tell me about that defense. defense. Obviously, what people maybe outside of the program don't realize, there's been some key injuries on that defense, and they keep plugging away, man, just game after game.
Yeah, you know, one of the things Coach Vegan has done is build the depth. You know, he's really, he talked about that as soon as he got here, something that, you know, he's seen a lot of the Dakota State schools do when he was at NDSU as a coordinator as well. And so he's built the depth. They have really lived up to the next man up mentality. And yeah, that injury bug in the middle of the season was, it was a tough pill to swallow, man. I mean, you really felt for the boys. There was three consecutive weeks of three consecutive season-ending ACL injuries, one to Caden Dowler at the safety position. Now, that one got a little backfilled by a guy that they had expected to be the starter, and number two, Drew Polidor, who's playing great. He's an absolute torpedo. But the other two guys were seniors, and they had their seasons and careers ended. Blake Schmidt at the nose tackle position. But Paul Broad, another Montana kid from Billings, has been absolutely dominant. And then Danny Louie-Lakepa, one of the great great linebackers on this roster, having his season and career ended with the knee injury after an interception return in the Idaho game, the first Idaho game. So that was tough. But again, you know, Neil Daly stepped up, the number 19 linebacker, who's also from Billings. They've just figured out a way to get it done. And it's a Montana State alum, Bobby Daly, running this show defensively. And he has really gotten this thing up and running and continuing to get better. And I think the biggest superpower really of that defense is just the lack of panic. And we saw it in the Eastern Washington win when they were over in Cheney. They give up a big play, bad penalty happens, you know, anything that can happen, you just never see any panic. And they've been really consistent throughout the year. It's been awesome to watch.
This time of year, it seems like every year Coach Vegan's name starts circulating in the rumor mill for potential opportunities. And you can tell he loves what he does at Montana State. Maybe someday he gets that opportunity. Maybe someday, or he just stays there. Who knows what'll happen? How do they keep focused with all that going around and, you know, the circulation of names and stuff this time of year?
Yeah, I don't think it's been too hard for them to really stay focused. You know, I think for Coach Vegan, he really wanted to be a head coach when he left Wyoming as the offensive coordinator over there. So he's been at the FBS level. He knows what the Mountain West is. He knows what goes into those schools and those programs. And, you know, I think he and his family really enjoy Bozeman. You know, he's got his son Jake Vegan as a backup defensive end right now. His other son, Grant Vegan, who just finished up his high school career this year, is a quarterback. He's committed to come here as well. So, you know, I think for Coach Vegan, he's not going to leave unless it's the absolute right situation. B, he's not done. Yeah, he has not won a national championship here yet. You know, he's had a lot of success, but he hasn't accomplished his goals. And C, I think one of his great skill sets is his communication. You know, he really communicates with his players. He's not going to BS you, and he's very even keeled. So you know what he says and what he gives you is the truth. And I think just the focus on that, everybody is so locked in. I just don't think it would take so much to knock these guys off their focus right now.
Two more for you. If Montana State remains undefeated and gets that crack at a national championship, what goes well on Saturday?
I think just they keep running out the same formula. You know, if the offensive line keeps doing what they're doing, the defense stays stout and they don't give up too many big plays. I mean, look, we've seen South Dakota make a couple of really big, really key pass plays over the last couple of games down the stretch here for you guys. And, you know, the Cats have given up a couple of big pass plays. So as long as they limit those and Tommy keeps doing what he's doing and you know, as long as he stays healthy, things will be all right. But I think mostly for Montana State, it's just been so much about themselves. And if they continue to deliver the way that they have delivered throughout the year, they're going to feel like they're in a good place to deliver their best shot.
We will have plenty of fans trying to make their way to Bozeman, Montana, some of them for the first time ever. For those who are making their first trip to Bozeman, where are Keaton's recommendations for a Friday night, maybe some food, a place to hang out, that type of thing, and pregame activities on Saturday?
Yeah, man, just head on down to Main Street. You can find absolutely whatever you're looking for on Main Street. It's not a huge stretch of town. Bozeman is not a big place. It's in a beautiful valley, and if you head out down to Main Street, you will find any level of food, any level of drink, any level of atmosphere you want. Just walk down Main Street and you'll find something that'll speak to your soul on how you want to spend your Friday night. And then, you know, on Saturday, it's the tailgates are ripe. You walk around and you'll get a little trash talk, but you also get a warm, hearty welcome. So just get out of your hotel, be out in the city, and you will certainly find something to have some fun with.
Well, I'm fired up. I'm excited for it. It's semifinals of the FCS playoffs. Keaton, great stuff. Really appreciate it very much. We'll see you on Saturday and looking forward to a great football game.
Can't wait. Thanks, bud.
Should be a fun one on Saturday. My thanks to Keaton Gologly for joining us here on the Yokecast podcast, giving us some time to preview the Montana State Bobcats. Let's take a look at what is going on in Coyote Athletics before we wrap things up. And of course, the list is shortening before a little holiday break. A Thursday night basketball game for the Coyote men's basketball team. They're in St. George, Utah. They'll take on Utah Tech. That game tips off at 8 o'clock Central Time. We're on the air at 7:30 on the Coyote Sports Network. Friday night, Coyote women back at home. They'll take on South Dakota Mines. It's a 7 o'clock start time in the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. Jerry Pelleschi on the air at 6:30 on the Coyote Sports Network. That game also available on the Summit League Network. Coming up on Saturday, men's basketball will play in Santa Clara, California. You can hear that game on the Coyote Sports Network. Pregame coverage coming up at 3:30 Central Time. It's a 4 o'clock tip-off time. Daniel Barrera will have the call from Santa Clara, California. And of course, a lot of eyes will be on Coyote football on Saturday afternoon as South Dakota battles the number one team in the country, undefeated Montana State. The Bobcats and Coyotes both trying to reach a national championship opportunity. We're on the air at 1:30 Central Time on the Coyote Sports Network. Kickoff is set for 2:30. You can also watch that game on ABC. You can watch it, turn down the volume, sync up the radio broadcast, and we'll all be good to go for Saturday. It's the Cats and the Yotes from Bozeman, Montana. Going to be a fun Saturday afternoon. Of course, earlier in the day, it's South Dakota State and North Dakota State. The two winners head to Frisco, Texas. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of the Yotecast podcast. As always, if you have any suggestions, feel free to reach out, social media, however you want to reach out. Let us know suggestions of Coyote athletes, administrators, maybe whoever you want to hear from, and we'll see if we can make it happen. We will not have a podcast coming up next week. We're going to take that off for the Christmas break. I hope you have a great holiday season, however you choose to spend it, and we'll be back with more episodes coming up here in the next couple of weeks of the Yotecast podcast. All right, that's it for me. Have yourself a great weekend. If you're traveling to Bozeman or wherever you might be headed this weekend, always, always, always travel safe. Please stay safe. And as always, go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.